Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to The Kickoff, brought to you by TickPick. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me is my producer and model trained salesman, Brendan Tuma. It's a Thursday morning edition of The Kickoff. That means it's time to talk about my top five thoughts about Thursday night football. But first, let's talk about TickPick and going to football games and really all sporting events and just saving a little money because TickPick doesn't charge service fees. All they do is guarantee the best prices on tickets to NFL games. Here's what I want you guys to do. I want you guys to go to any other site and look around for tickets and then go to TickPick and TickPick.com/pros, of course, so they know we sent you. But TickPick and look around and take a look at the different prices for the various tickets. You're going to see if you try to buy one on another site, they're going to jack it up like, I don't know, $15-$20 a ticket. Those are service fees. TickPick does not do that. If you find a better price on another site, they're going to give you 110% of the total purchase price. And no service fees, again, doesn't sound like a big deal. It's a huge deal. They've saved their users over $55 million. Now they've teamed up with Zip that allows you to buy now but pay later for all your tickets. Just choose Zip at checkout, split your ticket purchase into four installments, download the TickPick app, use the code PROS for $10 off your first order when you select Zip at checkout. Again, that's code PROS, $10 off your first order when you download the TickPick app and select Zip at checkout. All right, before we talk about Thursday Night Football, let's run through the big news items from yesterday. The first one has to deal with Thursday Night Football, and that's that Damien Harris cleared the concussion protocol. He is going to play on Thursday. We're going to talk about that a little bit in what I am watching. Miles Sanders was designated to return from IR. That just means he has a 21-day window. No guarantee he's going to return this week, but obviously a good sign, and this was expected. Alvin Kamara returned to practice after he missed last week with his knee injury. That's a great sign for his availability coming up. James Robinson didn't practice, and he was actually on the injury report with a knee injury, not his heel injury, but it does seem precautionary here, so you should expect him to go this weekend against the 49ers. Speaking of the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan does think Elijah Mitchell can play on Sunday, but he was not at practice on Wednesday. I'm not going to go overboard with this. I'm going to listen to Shanahan, but obviously you need to pick up and stash Jeff Wilson just in case he's still out there. Kevin Stefanski says that Kareem Hunt is not going to play in Week 11, but he is, quote, getting close. I'm still not expecting Hunt until at least December at this point, so make sure you hold all your Dearness Johnson shares. Also, Stefanski is confident that Baker Mayfield is going to play with his knee injury. Kyler Murray was back at practice, but DeAndre Hopkins was not. I think there's almost no chance that Hopkins is going to suit up this weekend, but it does sound like Murray's got a little bit of a chance, and it might be that this loss this last weekend might have, you know, made the Cardinals have a little bit of urgency. Remember, they do have a bye next week, so they could play it safe. But for right now, looks like he may join the fray. Matt Rhule says that, quote, we're trending that way in terms of Cam Newton starting in Week 11 against Washington. I think you can take apart the trending and just say that's the way we're going. Cam Newton will be the starter for the Panthers in Week 11, as will Joe Flacco for the Jets. He's going to start against the Dolphins. Whatever, man. I mean, doesn't make much of a difference. To the extent you are starting, you know, Michael Carter or Corey Davis or Elijah Moore, this really doesn't make that much of a difference, but certainly a bizarre turn for the Jets. Jared Goff did not practice with his oblique injury. This one sounds a little dangerous here, so bear that in mind, but not like it matters. You're not starting any pass catcher other than TJ Hockenson, and of course you're starting DeAndre Swift, and you're starting both regardless of who is under center. Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be a game-time decision for Thursday night. Frankly, I am surprised that we're even here. I kind of just thought he'd be rolled out. So probably a good thing for his future value that he is a game time decision at least. Logan Thomas did not return to practice. I'm not expecting him to go this weekend. Chase Claypool did return to practice, getting in a limited session, but I don't think he's going to be ready just based on everything I saw about his toe injury. So don't get too excited just yet. Chris Carson doesn't practice. That's not a great sign. Dallas Goedert didn't practice. That's not a great sign, though, of course, with a concussion, you never know, so don't get too worried about that one. Marquise Brown didn't practice with his thigh injury, and Jeremy McNichols didn't practice with his concussion. I think Marquise Brown should be fine, just a Veterans Day. And I don't even remember when Jeremy McNichols got a concussion at all. So again, you're not starting him in fantasy, but you know, if you're in an extremely deep PPR league and you know you have him on your bench, then obviously you want to monitor that. And Jamal Williams returned to practice with his thigh injury. All right, let's talk about the top five things I'm looking for during tonight's game between the Falcons and the Patriots. Number one, what does the Patriots' backfield look like now that Damien Harris is apparently coming back? We talked a lot about Ramondre Stevenson and what his value would be here and into the future. Without Damian Harris, it would be a borderline RB1, and with Harris, it's more of a flex play. Now, all signs point to Harris being up here for this game, so we're about to find out what it looks like. So there are a few things to unpack here. First, the Atlanta run defense is not good. Fifth most fantasy points allowed to running backs, 11 touchdowns total to running backs in 9 games, 22nd in defensive DVOA against the run. They've allowed 62 receptions to running backs. That is fifth worst on a per game basis. 476 receiving yards to running backs. They're sixth worst on a per game basis. They're not bad on a yards per carry basis, admittedly 3.8, but they're obviously a defense you can attack on the ground, and that's what the Patriots want to do. Now, as we record, I don't actually have my running back rankings with Damian Harris in it. I was ranking Ramondre Stevenson as the starter and no Harris. Today, I will read up more on what the beat writers expect sort of the breakdown to be, but back of the envelope calculation for me as I look at it is that Harris is going to slot in at RB24 and Stevenson at RB28. Now, there's not a lot of conviction with that right now, guys. I'm okay to admit it, but I do think that this first game, at least with both of them there, you can start both guys as potential flexes. Second, what are we going to see from the Falcons running backs? Wayne Gallman, we heard it when he first signed. We really heard it after his huge game against the Cowboys, which, to be clear, was 15 carries for 55 yards. But now Arthur Smith says that with a quick turnaround, he was really just saving his starters in that game. And I kind of believe him. I mean, Wayne Gallman's not the future, all right? He's 27, and yeah, he's probably a better runner than Mike Davis, and certainly the way, you know, Davis has looked this year, but we shouldn't just expect Gallman to just replace Davis here. First, again, we don't know even if Cordarrelle Patterson is playing. So if he is, you can't start either Davis or Gallman. And this whole thing is like a cow's opinion. It's moo. But if not, if Patterson doesn't start, then I am personally starting Mike Davis over Gallman. We've barely seen Gallman this year, but in his career, Davis has been a much higher graded pass catching running back than Gallman. And that is something to watch against the Patriots. They've allowed 651 receiving yards to opposing running backs. That's the second most in the league. 68 receptions to running backs. That's the third most in the league. 8 running backs in the last 7 games have tallied at least 46 receiving yards. Patriots defense is going to be focusing on Kyle Pitts, as I'm sure you know, so Davis should get a ton of targets here out of the backfield. And without Patterson, you can start Davis as a borderline, maybe RB2, more like a flex, and Gallman as a potential deeper league flex. The production has to go somewhere here, guys. It's a game where Matt Ryan's going to be desperate for pass catchers, so both running backs are at least going to be intriguing if Patterson is out. Number 3, can Kyle Pitts overcome the Bill Belichick focus? You can't get away from Pitts this week, and he's basically the only option in that passing game, as we just discussed, particularly if Cordarrelle Patterson sits. The Patriots give up almost no points to opposing tight ends, third fewest in the league, but A, they haven't really faced anyone, and B, Pitts really isn't your typical tight end. He lines up at wide receiver plenty, so he may draw J.C. Jackson here, normally the assignment of the top wideout, which he basically is in this case. If not, you know, he's going to see safety help over the top to limit his production. Again, you're starting Pitts. You almost certainly don't have another option that's better, but his best game over his last 3 is 62 yards receiving, and that's probably about what your expectation should be here. Number 4, is Hunter Henry going to continue to make me look dumb? The Falcons thus far have faced 3 tight ends of note. Dallas Goedert had 4 catches for 42 yards and a touchdown. Rob Gronkowski had 4 catches for 39 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Mike Gesicki, who had 7 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. Now, Hunter Henry, at least the version of Hunter Henry that's on the Patriots, is not quite in their class. We've talked about this. No more than 4 targets in a game over his last 5. He's averaging basically 2 catches per game over that stretch, but what he does is score touchdowns, 7 over his last 7 games. That's because Mac Jones loves to target him in the red zone, as we have said, 12 red zone targets, 8 red zone catches, and 7 touchdowns from the red zone. Henry's the 8th tight end in terms of fantasy points per game. It's really just hard to deny it anymore. Start him as a locked-in tight end, and I tell you what, if you absolutely wanted to start him over Kyle Pitts, I probably would allow that and wouldn't argue with you. Finally, is any Falcons wide receiver going to step up here? We know Bill Belichick is going to take away Pitts, as we said. We know we probably won't have Cordarrelle Patterson, so someone has to step up here. 2 weeks ago, they played a really tough defense against the Saints, Russell Gage, 8 targets, 7 catches, 64 yards. Olamide Zaccheaus, 3 catches, 58 yards, and 2 touchdowns. All right, so that's exciting, right? Right after that, you're like, let's buy into this. Here we go. They've got somebody to step up here outside of Calvin Ridley. And then last weekend against the Cowboys, Zaccheaus saw 7 targets, but just 2 catches for 22 yards. Russell Gage, 3 targets, and he caught none of them. Now, Matt Ryan completed just 9 passes for 117 yards, so maybe we throw it all out, but I don't know. I'm just not sure how we handle it. Look, Gage averages more than 5 targets per game. Zaccheaus, fewer than 4. Someone on this offense, other than Patterson and Pitts, has to emerge, right? And with the attention being paid to Pitts, and with either a limited or an absent Patterson, this should be a game where one of them does something. I'm not ranking it that way. Gage, Zaccheaus, they're both outside my top 50 wide receivers, but just the roster dynamics suggest that one of them is going to be productive at some point. So hopefully we see some signs here. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks again to TickPick. Remember, download the app, use the code PROS, get $10 off your first order when you select Zip at checkout. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning.